Oh, wait. Yes, it is. It's happening. Why does it do this to me? Every time I look at the on-air, it just goes 0-0, like repeated zeros. But Arsenal don't do zero anymore. They do 3-1. 3-1 North London Derby. Did you see that one coming? You asked me, I'd say no. But you, what did you think?
Spurs were in a bit of shit form, and I saw a meme or a joke or something, and it was just like, you know, Arsenal, all of these things in our favour, and then Kane, 5 minutes, and you just kind of knew, didn't you, because like derbies with form, it goes out the window. I certainly didn't expect the first half that I was given. What a first half. I'm happy to say, without a shadow of a doubt, that's the best first half Arteta has ever produced.
Mm-hmm.
He got everything right. The players were obviously psyched up for it, as they should be, because it's a local derby. And credit to Arteta and credit to the whole team. They were fantastic from start. At first half, they just absolutely blew Spurs away. And they were shell-shocked. And it was great to see, because it's, you know, normally, or certainly, more often that Arsenal are slow to start, not quick to start, but definitely not on Sunday. It was glorious.
Did you see one of the reports that said that White bullied Kane? Who said it? Jamie Carragher.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think there's some truth to it.
Mm.
I think if you think back to the first couple of minutes, he made that slide tackle, put Kane on his arse, and you know, he won a few headers in the air. You know, White, we talked about it last week about winning headers in the air. This is a defender that's going to get bullied. And, yeah, he certainly didn't look like he got bullied by Kane that much on Sunday.
Yeah, true.
And I thought, you know, on which, if you saw the Liverpool-Brentford game the day before, Matt Tony bullied Van Dijk and the other lad, I can't remember his name, the two centre-halves, absolutely fucking murdered them. But nobody's thinking that Van Dijk is a pussy or is a weakling. So I think it was blown out of proportion a little bit. Tony is an absolute animal. And certainly there's a, you know, defenders at the minute don't know how to play against him. I watched Brentford the week before against, Wolves, I think it was. They were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
They are a good team. Yeah, they are a good team. And Tony and the other striker, because they play 4-4-2, they were class. Yeah, I think that the idea of Ben White being a bad defender, I think, or being bullied, I think it might not be put to bed, but certainly it's losing credibility week by week. So, you know, I'm loving the defence. They look solid. I think Spurs, you know, even if they're playing shit, they're still a scary attacking force, aren't they? And I think that was evidence, you know, that their goal, they didn't. Second half, yes, they did play better, but, you know, I wasn't entirely surprised. I liked how Ramsdale was, you know, genuinely fucked off.
Did you hear what he said after the game when he said, you know, the truth is I shouldn't have let that goal in. He said, I should have pushed my weight forward so I could have got a little bit more spring in my hand and I could have pushed it onto the post.
Pushed inside, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a guy. I'm just so impressed with Ramsdale. I can't say anything except this guy's amazing. You know, I'm blown away by him. Totally blown away by him.
And I think it's mad, isn't it? How, yeah. You know, I can't remember what we said. I don't know if we were particularly negative about it.
Not very, but we weren't positive either. I think we were in the middle. We were just, seems like a lot of money to pay for a keeper. He's gone down with two teams. Let's hope he don't make it three. It was something like that. But we didn't really comment on his skill set.
Yeah, and I think we were probably right to be a little bit
skeptical. Yeah, I think so.
But, you know, I'm glad we didn't sort of jump on the train. I think Arsenal fans are guilty of that sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They're very easy. We blew it all out of all proportion. And when you think about the Brentford, you know, we had 9 players or 8 players missing because of COVID. They didn't even know what the team was going to be on that Friday. So
we had a kid up front. who is a very talented kid, but just probably wasn't the right time. But yeah, the only fly in the ointment for me was guess who? When he was back in the team, I was going mad. I was going mad when I saw Xhaka in the team, and I wasn't entirely happy with his performance. I didn't think it was bad, but I just don't like the way. You know what irritated me? Yeah, I mean, he made a couple of silly fouls, which you'd expect. He didn't make any major errors, but.
Passes.
Yeah, there was a stray pass straight to the opposition in our own third.
Or there's one where he just fucking punts it at his teammate.
Yeah.
And if you're his teammate, like, cheers. Like, yeah. Are we on the same team? But I thought overall, he certainly didn't make any glaring errors. And he didn't... I thought he played quite well. I think him and Partey played all right.
Yeah, another Arsenal fan I spoke to said the same, you know, that this... Because I said, what the hell is going on? Why is Pepe not in the team? And this Arsenal fan said, well, his best midfield partner is Xhaka. I said, is it really? Is the midfield that bad that Xhaka is the best option? I'm sorry. I said, I just don't actually understand what
you mean the conga? Joe, you mean the conga, then you got Pepe?
Yeah, no, but it's because Pepe was dropped. That was why. Because
Lokonga was dropped, wasn't
he? Yeah, but so was Pepe. Because he started the last game.
On the right wing.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying to accommodate him, because maybe Partey was on the bench. I don't remember who, but Pepe was definitely playing against Burnley from the start. That's all I can remember.
Yeah, he was, but obviously.
Let's have a look at the team. I know they're not in this. Yeah, and also, you know, Sambi, Lokonga, I would take him over Xhaka any day.
Upset that the Conga wasn't playing.
Because
I thought he would go back to two holding midfielders. I figured he would. I think Burnley was a little bit of an experimentation, but it's almost like, you know, let's try something different a little bit. Because he did play Odegaard, but he cut more of it as an eight, didn't he? So I was disappointed. And yeah, I have to admit, I was disappointed that Xhaka played and the Conga didn't start.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, hang on a second, you know, the Conga's playing world. What does Xhaka have to do to get dropped?
I know, it's just insane.
He gets sent off, and then he gets COVID, despite having, you know, complete fucking access to the vaccine. And I was like, what does this man have to do to not fucking play for our team?
It's basically, Pepe got dropped. He got dropped, Saka got put in a... Because he must have played... I think, Saka was deeper. Yeah.
Aubameyang, Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, and Pepe.
Yeah, that's right. Lokonga apparently didn't play, or maybe came on as a sub. Yeah, he came on as a sub for Smith Rowe.
Yeah. Party was the main holding midfielder.
Yeah.
And Odegaard was the eight almost.
Yeah, he seemed a bit deeper.
Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, Pepe.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of them had to go. He was never going to play Odegaard as an eight against Spurs. I think he was too conscious of the fact that you've got Højbjerg and you've got fucking clunkers in there. You know, I'm Dombele. So I think he was like, right, we need to win the midfield, which I think they did.
Totally. You know, and Xhaka was part of that, to give him his due.
He would play a second holding midfielder. I was annoyed it was Xhaka, not Lokonga.
Yeah, I would have put Lokonga in for sure. Because he needs the experience. And he has been playing well.
He's played well. You know, he's played well.
He's broken into the Belgium team as well, you know. And he can't even start ahead of that Swiss roll, you know. He just does my head in. You know, I call him a Swiss roll because he's always rolling over. And he just does my head in, that guy, I swear. Yeah, he did play quite well. You know, I have to say that.
Yeah, he started, I think, at least the first goal, you know, and the second goal he definitely did. He managed to shield the ball.
He was instrumental in that goal, even though it was a foul, to be honest. But I was glad he got away with it. Of course, I'm going to support Xhaka when he's selected. But I would never, ever, you know, even if when I'm at the ground. I've never, ever booed an Arsenal player. And I've got no intention of starting. So as much as I think he's surplus to requirements, I wouldn't do that. But you know what I wanted to say about Xhaka? There was, I don't know if you noticed, there was an incident. No one picked it up, on none of the pundits. But I thought there was one challenge, and I forget who the player was. He suddenly jumped in with 2 feet, but in a very, you know, it wasn't like he was trying to scythe the guy down, but he just leapt in the air with 2 feet. It was just really weird. And then crashed down on the ground right behind this Spurs player. And I just thought, what is he trying to achieve there? Does he not understand it's not a good idea to take off with 2 feet? And he did it again. But it was a different sort of challenge. Did you notice that at all? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't see it at all.
Yeah, it was just, I think the guy was shielding the ball and Xhaka was basically almost just about to tackle him from behind and had second thoughts. And so in the end, what he did, he just jumped. He jumped with 2 feet. It didn't look dangerous, but it could have. Say the guy turned. I really want to see that incident again, but I did sort of see it twice, I think. And I just thought, I don't know what he's doing. Nobody's picking up on it. So everybody seems to think that's okay. But I don't, after he'd already been done for going in with 2 feet, and his comments after going in with 2 feet and getting sent off was, I didn't see anything wrong with the challenge, which to me doesn't suggest that he's ready to learn. I don't think the guy is ready to learn, sorry to say. And I don't really want to turn it into a Xhaka.
I think we should try and be positive because I did think he played well.
I have to admit, he played quite well. I would give him a 7 probably for his performance overall.
You can't sort of really, if Arteta obviously sees something in him that a lot of people don't. And I think as well, like, he normally does play well after a fuck up.
Yes, true. Like, that's true.
He don't get me wrong, he will make another mistake again.
Yeah, there's going to be at least one before the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. But
if he plays every... Let me just ask this one before, just how many serious errors, if he plays every game between now and the end of the season, how many goals do you think he will cost Arsenal?
I don't know, 2 or 3.
Yeah, I would say the same. And to me...
He makes, but it's not just the goals, it's like the decision making, the silliness of it. But if you listen to our podcast, that wasn't a snipe, sorry, but if you listen to our podcast, one of my friends, Harry, he likes Xhaka. And he's like, because he's got that shithouse sort of vibe about him, and sometimes you do need that shithouse vibe. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I kind of see the point, actually. I do see the point. Because sometimes you need somebody who breaks up play, and he breaks up play because he does a lot of silly things, but actually does it in a professional way occasionally. I've got to give him some credit. The guy, I never disliked him in the beginning. He just made me dislike him with some pretty poor performances along the way. And as you said, terrible decision-making. It was like some... Yeah, really. I've just never seen anything like it. That there's no sign of learning, going on. But you're right.
He's very frustrating.
And then I get mad because he's not even tough. He doesn't appear to be tough, And that irritates me. If he was a real tough guy and did silly things, I'd probably accept it more because I'd be scared he'd chase after me.
Well, that's what we said. We talked about Roy Keane.
Those guys. Jeez.
But they also had a lot more to their game than just being a tough guy.
Yeah, they were so good at passing.
And he doesn't have, he's limited. Vieira, they broke up play. They were a tough guy, but they passed, they moved, they were the engine. Like, they had all these things. Xhaka's quite mobile. But I think aside from that performance, aside from that pick where I think we all were a little surprised, how we played, we came out of the gates fucking fast. No messing around from Arsenal. And straight away, they looked positive. And I think there was a chance for Aubameyang early doors.
Yeah, it was near post. Yeah.
And I think it was going wide anyway. But that kind of certainly signaled the intent myself of Arsenal. And they just, that first half, they just absolutely blitzed them. And every time Spurs looked like they might be coming back into it, like if you think the Spurs had had about 5 minutes of possession, they were looking good, and then bam, we hit them on the counter. And so a counter-attacking team, which is what Spurs were definitely last year, that's always quite nice. And just the speed and the sort of the fluidity of it. Like the first goal, I loved that Saka did well. And then Smith Rowe's run across the box, just shows someone that, I loved that sort of goal because he calmly sort of slotted away. The second goal was good team football. Xhaka won the ball, and Aubameyang came deep for Tierney, played it off around the corner to Smith Rowe, and Smith Rowe burst. I never knew he had that much acceleration in his locker.
Yeah, I always thought it was quick.
he doesn't strike me as being fast, does he? But the pass wasn't great to Aubameyang. Fuck me, what a finish! Like he couldn't have hit it anywhere else.
Yeah, it actually got right in the corner, and that's exactly where it went. So yeah.
And he did, and then so obviously that's that. And then the third goal, you kind of knew it wasn't going to be Spurs' day.
Kane, that's true.
Wasn't getting much service. He was having a bit of a stink of not. Ben White was bossing him a little bit, and Gabriel was doing well against him as well. And then he loses the ball because he came quite deep again, didn't he? And I think that I didn't watch much of the Spurs analysis.
Me
but
too.
But certainly that was a point they were making. That Kane was coming ridiculously deep, and et cetera, et cetera. And he loses the ball. He runs back 40 odd yards, 50 yards to win the ball back, slide tackles, and inadvertently helps Xhaka. third goal. And then you just think, it's not their day. And what I also liked as well, I don't know if you saw this, was all three of them. Obviously, Thierry Henry was in the stands.
Yeah, they were doing the Thierry Henry celebration, weren't they?
It was all three of them.
Yeah.
And I liked that. That was a little nod to the past.
Yeah, it was great.
It was clever by the players because it's like that gets the fans on board. And, I think we might have mentioned this last week. Arsenal Twitter is very different to Arsenal fans.
Yeah, but.
Or online Arsenal, it's very different to Arsenal. Like, they've been nothing but supportive of Arteta since the season began, well, certainly since September. And Arsenal have been a bit savvier with the PR. Like, I don't know if you saw with Mertesacker came out and did an interview last week on a blog, and he was there for 2 hours, and he was talking about the process, and he was talking about how it's going to take time, and, what we're aiming to. And when you have that sort of transparency and that, it's not going to go into all the minor details of our tactics, but this is our vision and you're talking about that, only is going to get fans on side. And, you looked at that team again, we mentioned this after Burnley, aside from Aubameyang and Partey and Xhaka, all of those players are under 23-24. So the potential for growth is massive. And it's very encouraging to see an entire back four that already start, back five if you include Ramsdale.
They're
already starting to look, show signs of being a unit. And of course, they'll have bad days, but it's already looking promising. And they're all under 20. We finally got someone to play. Gabriel is looking good. You've got Tierney, he's always been good since he started, pretty much. Tomiyasu has fitted in like a glove.
Really has,
He has, and he got the Arsenal.com man of the match, which is interesting. So I was wondering what these games these people were watching, but he played well, don't get me wrong. And
he was one of the best players, but he wasn't the best. Yeah. I mean, as much as I rate him, I do. But, I would have given it probably to Saka or Smith Rowe.
Yeah. Saves, didn't he?
Yeah, he's very alert. Very alert. That's a good sign. Good sign.
The vibe at Arsenal is positive.
Really.
Because of the slate that we've made. And, if you think about it, new goalkeeper, new right back, new centre-half, Partey feels like a new signing.
Yeah.
The Conga is a new signing.
Mm.
You know, and then you've got Odegaard. So you've got, you know, six players there. You know.
Yeah, it does feel good having all these new signings. I don't know if you're still there though. Oh no! Oh, you're back. Who's underrated?
Odegaard.
Yes, I rate him. I've always rated him, but
I
not
thought his performance on Sunday would have got under the radar compared to like Smith Rose or Saka, who did score.
Yeah,
I thought, yeah, you know, Odegaard pressed so much, and some of his balls around the corner, and some of the things he was doing was just so quick, and he just got so much space. And Spurs, I think it's Spurs. Are a team that's in a little bit of disarray at the minute.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
What their midfielders playing at, God only knows. Like, Dele Alli is not a central midfielder. I don't know why they play him there, because he's not a central midfielder. He's a 10, and that was, they talked about that a little bit on the analysis as well. And so, you know, we took advantage of a poor, you know, poor performing Spurs team. So yeah, obviously winning the derby. The only thing I thought of was, I wish almost we'd played it at Spurs, because I reckon they were that much there for the take.
We could
have got a result at Spurs, you know. But yeah, it's fantastic. Like what a great experience, and you know, the future does seem to be a bit more positive with the players and the signings that he's made.
Yeah, the signings are all coming good, aren't they, really? Pretty much all of them. And it's a far cry to how it used to be, you know, a year ago.
Yeah, well, I think, obviously, with Willian last year, David Luiz, they're both Arteta signings, aren't they? Arteta thought it was a good idea to give them an extension.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they've gone away. They know now that Project Youth, I think, is what they're trying to do. Because I think Arteta has realised, I can't afford, if I want to be mini Pep, I can't afford the players that City can afford.
Mm.
What do I have to do? I have to teach young players how to play the way I want them to play. And I think he's finally learned that. And yeah, it's very, very positive. And you saw the attitude and the atmosphere amongst the players. They seem to be a bit happier sort of.
So, and Arteta too. Arteta has just been very positive. You know, do you remember when he said that thing, this has been the best, and this was before Arsenal started winning games, wasn't it? When he said, it's been the best 2 weeks of my management career at Arsenal. And I was thinking that maybe Arsenal had won one game at that point, probably against West Brom away or something in that Carabao Cup. I think it was then. I think that's when he came out with it. Or maybe Arsenal just won one game in the league. But
it was Norwich, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think... I'm trying to think when he said it, but he said it quite a long time ago. And I thought, I like what he's saying. I don't actually believe him, because it can't possibly be the best 2 weeks of his managerial career. How can it possibly be? He won the FA Cup. Has he forgotten that? So this can't be true, but I like what he's saying anyway. And it is positive.
I think he was fucking Mardy, wasn't he? He was Mardy with the press. He was Mardy with the fans. And, you know, I think he needed to... And the Grove has written about this quite a lot. And I quite like how he's sort of worded it. And I always try and sort of paraphrase what he said. I do agree with a lot of what
me too. I do like the Grove.
But he talks about Arteta having an attitude shift. He thinks that someone's had a word with him and gone, look, you know, the players pick up on this negativity and fans certainly pick up on it, and you know, it's your duty to, you know, this is your project as well.
Yeah.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
You know? And certainly we all think as well that, you know, if these results hadn't gone well, would he be still in the job this time now, really?
He could have been out.
It couldn't have been out. And I think He's been given a bit of a pass, and I think just because of the signings and the youth, the youngness of the team, I think that will help him out a little bit. And of course, we're going to lose, and of course, they're going to have bad games. Like, I think, like Saka, for example, I think Saka's had a pretty slow start to the season.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's on now. after that game.
That was one hell of a performance.
Yeah.
One of his best. What was going to say, yeah, with Arteta, he just seems to... Yeah. Oh, you said he was a bit narky with the fans or rude about the fans. I just wanted to know...
No, not rude. I think he's just short in the media.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm really... I could tell there was an attitude shift, though. I know what... That's where you picked it up from, right? Le Grove.
Yeah.
And I could see... Or I not see it, but so much as hear it, you know, I thought he's just faking this positivity, but it might be a good thing. I was just thinking that. But I think somebody else in the media said that I can't possibly be being honest, that this is the best time in his managerial career, even though he's not been in it that long, this kind of job. It can't possibly be. But then it suddenly became probably... It is now, you know, after... Yeah. So that kind of positive vibe that he was giving out. And in the lead-up to that game as well, when I saw the Spurs manager and Arteta, I thought, well, Arteta's by far the more positive manager right now, because the other guy seems under pressure. He's just looks worried. He looked worried before the game to me.
After so few games in as well.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, this is a manager that Spurs didn't want. Spurs never really wanted Nuno. He's got their seventh choice or something ridiculous like that.
They'll kick him out in no time. You know what Levy's like. He'll just kick him out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think they will.
He'll have a couple more games.
I think Spurs are in danger of doing what Arsenal did. They're sinking.
Yeah.
If they're not careful.
They look awful. When you think, like, Burnley and Norwich look better than Spurs, to be honest.
Yeah.
They really did. I mean, I was more worried about those games. It wasn't just because of the scoreline. It's just the way Arsenal ripped Spurs to shreds at the start. It's a lot down to Arsenal more than Spurs being a poor team. Maybe they are a poor team as well, but I don't think they're that useless. I'm sure, you know, you can't change that quickly. I think it's just their tactics were wrong, and, you know, maybe then you look at Kane. Kane's still, part of his brain is in Manchester, I suppose, after all that transfer speculation. So he's not firing on all cylinders. They've still got Son. I'm trying to learn how to pronounce his name, by the way. I still haven't managed it. But anyway, they've still got him, and obviously he managed to nick a goal, which was a bit of a dot on the cards, really. I thought,
it wasn't too surprising though. Like, I got the feeling that they obviously got bollocked at half time. They brought on two players and things. They tackled, and Arsenal were happy to sit back.
Yeah, I think so. I think
just managing the game.
As much as I like Arteta, I think he was a bit slow with his subs. For example, with Xhaka. Do you remember Xhaka went down with cramp at one point?
Yeah.
And then after he left him on and then he was injured. He could have taken him off then, off, you know, because he was...
Yeah, and the injury wasn't connected to the cramp, was it?
No, I don't think it was, yeah. But
it's a really freak accident.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought, and I don't think the goal wasn't helped by Xhaka being injured, but I don't think...
Yeah.
They just had sustained pressure, didn't they, Spurs, for a while, when kind of got the feeling that goal was coming.
But you know when you get that feeling that the goal's coming, that's really when, as a manager, you should make the changes. I personally, if I had control of the team, which I never will have, but just saying, if I put myself in Arteta's shoes, I can see why sometimes they don't want to mess with the formula. But at that point, the formula had worked, but it wasn't working at that time. And you give it, say, 10 minutes, and then, you know, it's all Spurs. They've got 70% of the ball, and they're starting to look a little bit threatening. And because the levels they were, you know, the players really applied themselves right from the start, and they were throwing, you know, they were chasing everything. So, of course, they were knackered. And so you needed new legs. That's all. I would have taken Xhaka off, not because I don't like him that much. It's not for that reason. I just thought, the guy's got cramp. He's immobile. So maybe Arteta thought, well, he's immobile anyway. So, if he's got cramp, doesn't make any difference because he doesn't run that much. But actually, he was running quite a lot compared to normal. I saw him chasing the ball into Spurs' half at one point. And I think that's what gave him cramp, because he's not used to it. So when he came back, yeah, it was after that run. Did you see it? He tried to close down. I think he tried to close down the goalkeeper. I forget, or a defender who was very deep. And he ran miles, you know. I just thought, that can't be Shaka. Blinking is, you know. And then he came back and then he was laying on the floor. And I thought, yeah, well, now it's all, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost. You know, he can't deal with this running thing because that's not his game.
Yeah.
So I thought, time to take him off, actually. Not because he was playing badly, just because I thought, well, if you got cramp, you're more likely to get injured, aren't you, really?
Yes.
That's course, all yeah, I was thinking.
And I think he deserves, almost as well as an element, of, like he deserved a round of applause from the fans.
Yeah. And he got it too, didn't he?
They have a bit of a frosty relationship with him. You know, he does have his moments where, yeah, your head's in your hands, you know, asking, what are you doing? You know, I thought that. I remember watching the game and thinking, right, okay, we do need to. It's almost like watching Wenger, isn't it? You know, like he's waiting for that
70 minute. Yeah,
70 minute to sort of bring people on. But yeah, that, I think, you know, we have to sort of. It's never going to be perfect, is it?
No,
but,
of course not.
You know,
yeah,
close to perfection you're going to get.
Yeah, and I was overall, of course, as you know, I've been quite pleased with Arteta from the word go, really, when he came in, won the FA Cup against the odds, and he was still.
Yeah.
But I was just getting to the end of my tether with it, purely because of results, really, and performances, though, the opening, even though as there were mitigating circumstances.
It's still going to be
up and down a bit.
Miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got kids.
Yeah.
So that's a factor. And you've got the fact that they're still new players playing with each other. We've got half a new team, essentially. Like, you know, I think we can both agree on the back five. Well, three of them are new. Partey hasn't played much. So there's an element of rustiness there. Lokonga, you know, Xhaka will play most games, I think. And I think Xhaka is arguably our second best midfielder.
Mm.
I think Lokonga will surpass him, and I hope that Lokonga surpasses him this year.
Mm.
But I think at the minute, I think Xhaka overall, in terms of experience and, you know, big game sort of experience, definitely, I think.
Yeah. As you know, I couldn't bring him back in the team. I wouldn't be able to bring Xhaka back in after his errors, you know, errors of judgment, really. So I personally have a problem playing him. I'd have him on the bench, though, because, I mean, he is an experienced player, and the other players seem to like him a lot. So he has got plenty of things going for him. But obviously, as we've been through it before, haven't we, that pace isn't one of them. Making the right calls on the pitch, that's also not one of his strong points. I'm trying to list some of the, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, listing all the things that Shaka's not good at. But, you know, on the plus side, he was one of the five captains, or is that a minus? I'm not sure. Let's look at some of the news while I wait for Skype to do its thing and reconnect Alex. So what are the Mirror saying about all this? What are the Mirror saying about all this, you might ask? Says Jose Mourinho's prediction about Nicolas Pepe has not come to fruition, as Arteta excluded him from his strongest 11. And as you know, he wouldn't have been excluded from my strongest 11. And there you go. All right. So, yeah, I was just reading. I was just reading from the Mirror. Because Mourinho was saying Pepe would be in the Arsenal strongest 11, apparently. I never heard him say that. But then, of course, he was left out. He didn't look very happy on the bench, and I don't suppose you can expect him to. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't exactly electric in the last game. I've got to say, I wasn't very happy with him, Pepe, against Burnley. And you know I'm a massive fan of Pepe. I wasn't happy with his performance at all. I didn't mean he was terrible, but he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So I could sort of see, yeah, I could sort of see why he was dropped, but I thought he would tear up Spurs. That's why I'd have put him in. But I wasn't happy with the Burnley game.
His end product is the reason. You know, and I think against Burnley, can you really remember much end products against Norwich as well?
Norwich, I was happier with him, I seem to recall.
Yeah, but how many goals, how many assists has he got this season? Like, don't get me wrong, he had a good end to last season. And I think in terms of stats, in his Arsenal career, certainly. But yeah, I think I can understand why he didn't get played. And I think it's between, I think Saka and Odegaard are automatic starters. And I think due to the flexibility that we have with those four, Smith Rowe, Odegaard and Saka, with those four, you have a fair bit of flexibility. Pepe can play on the left or the right. Saka can play on the left or the right, maybe 10, probably not. Smith Rowe can play on 10 and on the left, and Odegaard can play 10, possibly on the right as well. So you've got a lot of flexibility there, and I think what that means is Arteta can really pick the right players for the opposition. So maybe there's an element of, well, Pepe, he didn't really deliver much against Burnley. Maybe that was the reason why. But maybe it was to do with players fit for purpose against the opposition.
Yeah, so, it could be.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing, is it? When you have four players in three positions, you can kind of structure your team strategy around that. And I think, with the midfield, that's why you always want a squad, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, I don't think we're going to see much of Suarez at right back. Now we've got Tomiyasu, and I don't think, Tavares will give Tierney a rest. But I think from an attacking standpoint, you can modify things a little bit more. And in the midfield as well, there'll be times when we don't need to play Xhaka and Partey. You can have Odegaard in the middle as an eight with Partey. So it allows flexibility, it allows a little bit of unpredictability for the opposition, what sort of team we're going to play or what sort of players are going to play. So I think that's why. You have to look at it. Smith Rowe, I think, you can't not play Smith Rowe.
Yeah, I agree.
For the next game, right? You can't not play Saka. You can't not play Odegaard. You can't not play Aubameyang, really. I think he came and that second goal, especially, he came deep. Yeah, this is something
I thought about. Yeah, he was on fire.
Lacazette did better last season. He used to come deep, and I think Aubameyang tried to add that to his game a little bit more. I would be surprised if he changes the starting 11 at all. But maybe he will. Maybe Xhaka's injured.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Or maybe he feels that against Brighton, he needs a bit more mobility, so Lokonga will start. I don't know, though. Obviously, Arteta will be thinking about this throughout the week. But it does. It gives us that sort of those options, because I think so. Yeah, we still need another midfielder. Don't get me wrong. Or maybe Odegaard is an option as another central midfielder. And you've got Maitland-Niles as well.
He was good against Burnley. I was very impressed. I think it was Burnley came on.
I have to admit, when I saw they took off both Partey and Odegaard, and we replaced him with Maitland-Niles and Lokonga, I was like, oh, fucking hell, both the midfielders have gone. And you wouldn't have noticed Maitland-Niles swept up. He looked all right. So he's a possibility as well. And of course, you've got his versatility. He can play on the right. I don't think he'd be happy about playing on the right, but I think, so there are... Yeah, and he's another Haylander. Yeah, he's another... he's a little bit older, but he's still from that sort of squad. So, that sort of group of players.
Did you notice, though, when... Arteta was going around and celebrating with lots of the players and the staff. It was great to see, but I don't know if it was just me, but he seemed every time Ainsley was near, he just sort of went past him and hugged somebody else. And then Ainsley was near again and he went past him. I think I might be reading too much into it, but that's how it looked. That's just how it looked.
It hasn't been reported.
Yes.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking to see that. I just I just saw him go past him a couple of times. And I wasn't, yeah, and I know they mostly pick up on everything, but I was just watching the celebrations and I just thought, wait, he's hugging everybody except Ainsley. Is it because he hugged him already? You know, he may have hugged him already and so therefore, you know, why would he keep hugging the same? But he kept hugging the same guy who's a member of staff. I don't actually know who that person is. And, you know, so he was basically hugging everyone except Ainsley. I am serious. That's what I don't know if, you know, maybe Ainsley said, just don't hug me, boss, or something. Who knows? Maybe I'm not saying there's an issue between them. I don't think there is. But I just wondered if you noticed that. That's the way it looked. Doesn't mean it's reality. But if you just saw that clip, Alex, if you saw that clip, at the end of the game, and you really looked at it and only saw that clip. Obviously, that's not the full story, is it? But based on that clip, I thought, maybe they're not getting on that well. You know, it wasn't like a snub. It wasn't a snub. It wasn't like, you know, like our managers at the end of a game, they try and shake hands with people and some managers don't shake hands with the opposition manager. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't as extreme. It was just they sort of bypassed each other. So I just wondered about that. Xhaka, by the way, seems like it's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, according to Twitter, which I don't use much. Chris Wheatley, who's pretty famous on Twitter, he said he suffered a ruptured inner ligament in his right knee. And he says that's according to Andreas Boeni. Initial diagnosis says he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. So I better stop moaning about him. Yeah, and he's all strapped up. He's got a picture on Instagram with him, with his daughter, and he's all strapped up. So, yeah, feel a bit sorry for him now.
It's not good because I think, you know, so who would you play? You've got Lokonga, you've got Maitland-Niles, and then struggling, you've got Elneny.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I prefer them all to Xhaka, but he must have something because otherwise Arteta wouldn't keep picking him. And the same goes for Emery, kept picking him. So it's just my personal view. I mean, I know I'm not alone in feeling like that because obviously the pundits slam Xhaka pretty much all the pundits slam him. It was funny, they were trying to get Ian Wright to make a comment and he didn't want to say anything. Did you notice that? He didn't want to talk about Xhaka.
I think he feels what the fans feel, doesn't he, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's and I think Ian Wright, like most of us, have probably got frustrated with Xhaka over the years. But yeah, that is not good. You know, you don't want your starting player, whether we like him or not. I think he is a starting player for us.
He is at the moment. Yeah. Or he would have been. I'm not
So, yeah, we'll have to see how we get on, obviously. So 6 to 8 weeks, let's have a look at what games he misses. Obviously, Brighton. There's an international break, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's
two international breaks, actually.
Yeah.
So, he won't miss many games. I think we're playing Liverpool at some point. I'm trying to get the app up. It's incredibly slow.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Well, actually, the run-in for the next few games, it's not quite a run-in, is it? But the next few games are not that hard, apart from compared to some.
We've got Brighton away, which won't be easy. Palace at home. Vieira's coming back. Villa at home. That'd be interesting. At the end of October, Leicester away. Yeah, they're not looking as strong as they are. So, I mean, yeah, we did beat them last year, but still, obviously, not easy. And then Watford at home. And then after the November international break, Liverpool away. So I suspect he'll be aiming to come back for that, the Liverpool game.
Yeah, that seems...
Not huge games aside. Tricky ones, Leicester, possibly. I consider them us being rivals, but you know, I think the Liverpool game he'll be aiming to be back for, won't he?
Yeah, fingers crossed for him and Arteta. And even me, you know, because actually when Lokonga came on, I think he came on, didn't he, for Xhaka? Wasn't that the sort of substitution that was made? And actually, he wasn't as good as Xhaka in, you know, for once. I think Xhaka was... Because in a game like that, of course it's difficult. Yeah, to come on as a sub.
Yeah. You know, all those things. That's why Arteta, I think, possibly, obviously he's aware of that. I think it's... obviously with him starting, he will work. Yeah, hopefully he will... what's he called? He'll play all right. And I've got a lot of faith in Lokonga. I think he's a good little player. I think he'll continue to develop. So, you know, maybe this is a good opportunity for him and for Maitland-Niles as well. Because you know that Partey probably doesn't have the engine in him to play 90 minutes. So Maitland-Niles will be looking at that and thinking, oh, maybe I can get a few minutes in and, you know, stake my claims on him.
And looking ahead to the next game, because I guess it's getting a little bit late, we should probably do that. What do you think? What are Arsenal's chances at Brighton?
Well, they're a bit of a bogey team for us, aren't they?
They are. And they're doing well.
They are. They're above us in the league. They've started off well. They're athletic. They've got good momentum at the minute. They got a draw against Palace last night. They had a bit of a scrap. I don't know if you saw.
No, I didn't see that game. Didn't see it.
They were going into the Palace fans.
They hate each other.
I don't know. But they're no mugs. And we'll have to do very well to get a win.
Definitely.
But if we want to get back to the standard that we're the highest of levels, then we should be beating Brighton away.
Yeah.
At the minute, I don't think that we're at that level to say that we should do it. Can we do it? Yes.
Yeah.
Should we be able to? No, we don't have that consistency yet. And I think, you know, there might be an element of, you know, the players will be still buzzing after the Spurs game, and maybe, you know, young players not focused, not consistent, etc., etc. So we'll see. Certainly, you know, I think Arteta's got a bit of time on his hands now. And I'd love a win, but we'll see. I suspect it'll be a draw.
Yeah, that seems to be the most likely result. I'd probably go for an Arsenal win, mainly because they seem to have built up head of steam now. Brighton's not going to be easy, so it's going to be a narrow win, if anything. And a draw is acceptable, really, let's be honest. I think a draw is an acceptable result. A defeat, not really,
is
it?
We're not Man City. Yeah, we're not Man City. We're not Chelsea. We're not going to beat these teams away from home. Although we might turn up and surprise them. I think what is against us, possibly, is that Brighton also aren't in Europe. So they would have spent all week preparing for this game, just like we would have spent all week.
And they want to prove a point as well, that we're just as good with or without White. We don't need him, you know.
I feel
that's going to be an issue. And then there's that Yves Bissouma as well, because he's obviously been linked with Arsenal, and he'll have a point to prove. He'll think, why didn't they come and get me as well? Why did they leave me in Brighton? Not the worst place to be, but not the best either, is it?
I think it's quite tasty on a couple of levels. They'll be an athletic, they'll be quite dynamic. And I think they'll be physical, and they'll be fast, and they'll be quick, and they'll be aggressive. And Arsenal, it'll be a different game to the Spurs game. Arsenal will have to counter a bit more. They'll have to absorb the pressure and be defensively strong. And it's a good test of our new defence.
Yeah, and see how far Arsenal have come.
I think they'll be, it's tougher than Burnley because they're better than Burnley. But there's a lot of similarities in those two games. Like they'll be, the atmosphere will be a factor. The fans will be up for it. Burnley, while they weren't, very effective, they weren't too fast, but they were trying to score.
Burnley was a tough game. Very physical. It's like a rugby game, basically. To me, it's like a rugby team playing a football team. And the rugby team sometimes wins. That's what's shocking.
I think Brighton will be better than Burnley. I think Brighton will be
more technically.
Technically better. But I think there's certainly elements of that. So it's a challenge, of course. It's a challenge. And Arsenal need to be on top of the game, and then we'll see how things go.
So you're predicting a draw for that?
I think it'll be 1-1. I think we'll score first.
Yeah.
I think we'll score first, and we won't get a second. And they'll score.
Yeah, I'm going for a 1-0 to the Arsenal.
I think it'll be first half Arsenal, second half Brighton. That's how I see it.
I think it's going to be, sort of Burnley part two, really. That's how I'm imagining it. It's going to be, maybe a bit more like the Alamo at the end. I can sort of see that kind of scenario developing. I don't see it as an easy game, not one bit. I'm being optimistic here, which is not what's normal for me, is it? And see, the funny thing is, I've been moaning about Xhaka, and then when I found out about his injury, I'm all depressed about it. It upset me. Because in for a game like Brighton, if he's going to keep his head on, he can actually be quite useful. And so, that kind of tells you everything. Like, as much as I moan about him, I realise that he did contribute quite a lot to that win. And, he is... You can tell the players like him a lot. It's just the way they talk about him. They always mention Xhaka as one of the experienced heads in the dressing room, and so he gets a mention in the same breath as Partey and Orba that I never pronounce properly. they're the three, really, the three guys that they all look to, So maybe Arteta, let's hope he doesn't do it, are three captains.
We do have a very young team.
Yeah.
This is the thing, we do have a very young team.
Yeah. And so maybe in many ways he's quite a responsible person, but it's so hard to believe when he does crazy things. But anyway, talking of crazy, I suppose it's time to anything we missed that we need to cover. Do you think, or we covered more or less everything?
We covered it quite well. Yeah.
Right, I'll hit the music then and say adios, amigos. Right, let me turn the volume up. We're out of here.